Deyada dhamma dhamma kunya vihaji Lopi jana vallava idi varada Gopi jana valava Shri Varada di Yasoda nandana vraja jana nandana Yasoda nandana vraja jana randana Yamuna tira vanachari Yamuna tira Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. In the Bhagavatam, it is described that when Lord Krishna left the atmosphere of planet Earth, Kali invaded the Earth and began to spread his influence all over. So at the outset of the Bhagavatam discussion, the saints who feel Krishna's absence and Kali's presence asked Suta Goswami, where has religion gone or Dharma gone when Krishna left the planet Earth together with Dharma? Is this now a place where there is no Dharma to be found? Has Krishna left the Earth forever to its bad fortune, and it is now no longer a place for self-realization but a den for the most excruciating miseries and sufferings? Suta Goswami answers their worries and their question by saying that, no, don't worry. When Krishna left, darkness spread around, but fortunately he incarnated himself into the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam to dispel the darkness, especially the darkness in the hearts of the living entities. So you can understand, one sun leaves, the Krishna sun leaves, but only apparently. He seems to turn around on his heel and come back into the atmosphere of the earth at the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, it is said that if you know how to read the Srimad Bhagavatam, you can actually meet Krishna in the pages of the Bhagavatam. Let us stop for a moment here. Who of you wants to meet Krishna? Oh, this is a very good crowd to speak. Who of you reads the Bhagavatam? The third question is a disturbing question. Who of you has met Krishna in the pages of the Bhagavatam? No one raises. Omala Mataji has met Krishna in the pages of the Bhagavatam. No longer so many. Prabhuji's, and Mataji's, it says here you can meet Krishna in the pages of the Bhagavatam. You read the Bhagavatam, but you don't meet him. What's wrong here? What I very strongly believe is that our methodology to read the Bhagavatam is not yet intact. How to read. I do remember I actually became very attracted to Krishna consciousness for two reasons. The association of devotees impressed me very much, and the chanting, and particularly the wild dancing. I was attracted to halava. Now, I was not attracted to the other preparations, but to halava, I was attracted very much for two reasons. First of all, it tasted very nice, and second of all, that was much more fascinating for me. I could not figure out how halava was made. I couldn't imagine the ingredients, and it seemed to be a mystery preparation, almost like the Capricorn is a mystery amongst the animals and so on and so forth. It seems to be a mystery waiting to be discovered. So finally, I did manage to get hold of the recipe, and I invited all my relatives. It was Christmas Eve. I had invited them all. This was the first time where I visited home after I had become a devotee. And I had said, my only condition on coming on Christmas Eve to you is that you are not cooking, because in German households you prepare a goose for Christmas. I will take care of the cooking. I will prepare halava. So my grandmother, who is a very good cook, she is deceased now, but she said, "Are you sure that you can cook something which satisfies all the tastes of your poor relatives who ache to see you as a monk? Don't be strong-headed, be humble." I said, no, my grandmother, I will make halava. The mystery preparation. I will make a sufficient quantity, and we only need this one preparation to be satisfied. So the grandma knew, at that time I was very thick-headed, strong-headed. My parents knew I would not come if the condition would be broken, or if they would break it while I was there, I would leave abruptly. So, with worried expression on their faces, my relatives accompanied me into the kitchen, where all the ingredients for halava were ready. Now, I started to cook, but then, as I studied the recipe for the second time, a grave doubt overcame me. How will this taste, you know, if I will put now double the amount of water than the butter and the farina? This is too much. There must be a mistake in the proportion. I will put half the amount of water and in this way enhance the taste of the halava and make it better. Too much water makes it watery and dilutes the original taste. This was my speculation. So I cooked. I put different things in there, including strawberries. I put everything, all the good things of the world, I put into the water, and I cooked the farina. I made sure it was not burned. and so on. And then I speculated on the water. I put half of the water. Now, then I offered it with love and devotion. And then my relatives were all sitting there at the Christmas table, ready to enjoy their senses. And then I dished out the halava. And then they started to eat. One couldn't wait until the prayer was finished. So there was by the disturbed expression of the face, I could see something was wrong, or he was committing an apparat. So more ate and more had disturbed expression in the face until finally I was also eating, and it tasted very, very sweet. That was good, but it was so grainy, like sand. You know, it tasted like sand because the farina had not inflated. It had not. You know, you need double the amount. So I would say, I'm sorry to go at some length through this example, and I was never, from that moment I developed a trauma in regards to the kitchen. I have never entered the kitchen again after this total defeat which I suffered at that time. Only for fruit salad I have entered the kitchen, but for nothing else. So this is a. I wanted to use this as an illustration. You may have the right knowledge, but if you don't have the right methodology, or you speculate on the methodology of reading the Bhagavatam, the result will not be there. So, in this lecture of, one moment, the new word, therapeutic hearing, something like this. Therapeutic hearing. In this lecture, I really want to now teach you the right methodology for extracting or for coming to this, eventually to this state of sampatidasha, that is the achievement of your original constitutional position. This is how Prabhupada translates this. Siddha Swarup and Vastu Swarup, and I would like to teach you how to enter deeply into the pages of the Bhagavatam. This will be a lecture for taking notes, by the way, because I will fire different informations upon you. Some of you them will be very new for you, and then I will tell you Krishna Lila again. A very appropriate Krishna Leela. So, how to hear the Bhagavatam, or how to hear transcendental literature so that Krishna will manifest on the lotus of the heart. In the second canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 8, text 5, we find a very inspiring shloka. Pravishta karnarandrena svanam bhava saroruham dunoti shamalam krishna salilasya yata sharat. The sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul, in other words, Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material association, such as lust, anger, and hankering. Thus it acts like autumnal rains upon pools of muddy water. Let us summarize. Krishna enters through the heart, through the ears of the listener, and goes into the heart, and there he sits on a special cushion that is the mystical heart, which is compared to be a lotus with many, many petals. Krishna sits there and you can now develop your relationship with Krishna. Krishna's presence within your heart is cleansing your heart from the obstacles which are there. Shabalam means material qualities like lust, anger, and avarice, and hankering. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that when you hear Krishna Katha, you will become free from bhaya, from fear, which is the main, let us say, condition in the material world. The material world is called Kuntaloka, the place of fear, whereas the spiritual world is Vaikuntha, free from fear. So when Krishna comes into this, into the heart, you lose this fear. A spiritual atmosphere is is created. I would like to translate the word fear into contemporary ISKCON jargon, insecurity. Do you know that most Hare Krishnas are having flickering eyes? Eyes because they are in an in-between state between the material world, which they hope to leave, and the spiritual world, which they have not yet reached. And in this in-between, nobody's land, they are insecure about themselves, about their faith, about their determination. And this insecurity of fear is the characteristic quality of material existence. So when you hear sufficiently the sound vibration enters and has this therapeutic effect, therapeutic effect. I have to really learn this word a little bit better. Omala is my guru when it comes to English. Please say, pronounce it again, Omala. Therapeutic. This is the effect. You become free from your insecurities, your fear, your miseries. You have to hear sufficiently. When a surgical operation is performed, they give the patient, just before he comes into the operation theater, an injection so that he gets a little dull, and then he is not totally shocked when they and panics when they roll him into the operation theater, this surgical thing by all the glistening instruments which will soon cut his soft body and so on. So I do remember I had a very heavy operation on the head, not inside the head, then on the stomach and then on the foot once, and I went into I was waiting for that person to give me the initial injection, which is given before you enter this room of terror, where they then put the anesthesia on you. And 1 hour before the person came in, I decided, let me try it. I will just read the Bhagavatam out loud. I'm very, very nervous because I have no faith absolutely in modern science. I read it, and then I felt very relieved after 1 hour. And then the person came in to give me this injection in the veins to dull me, and he said, you're so peaceful, what happened? Have you taken an unwanted substance, some hashish? I said, no, something better. What? Srimad Bhagavatam. We had to explain. He said, I anyway give you the injection. I said, no need. I'm all right. Give me as less poison as possible. And yes, normally I take all injections which I can get when I go to the doctors. But here it was all right. And I didn't panic when I got into, and then they gave the anesthesia. So this really works. I can only say from own experience. And the way it is here said it works is like autumnal rain acts on pools of water. In Bengal, you find these little pukurs who become stinky, smelling holes in the earth during the summer. There are fishes who have died because the water is evaporated. There are dead goose. There are rotten eggs. There are garbage, and there is the ever-present human pile in large quantities around the pukurs, where people go in the morning to evacuate. So, really smelly. But then in the autumnal season, the rainwater comes, and it first fills the pukurs with water, and then the rainwaters wash out the pukurs. All the dirt flows towards, mostly towards Ganga, and Ganga has a way to eliminate the waste products and so on, and everything becomes very clear. That this is what happens when you listen to Krishna Katha. First, with a little Krishna Katha, the dirty things in the heart leave you. Lust, anger, illusion, it all leaves you. Fear leaves you. And if you continue to expose yourself more to the wonderful rainwaters of the Krishna Katha, after some time, you become really full with auspiciousness in your heart. And once the auspiciousness, the Shubha, first the Kleshagni, the sufferings go, then the auspiciousness starts in your life, and then finally, you begin to see the love for Krishna. That's why Krishna Katha is so absolutely potent. And I want to say, we usually in the Hare Krishna movement don't listen enough to Krishna Katha. We don't listen to Krishna Katha. We pump our heads full with philosophy, which doesn't make us free from anxiety often. Because if you are not a philosopher and you don't have that ability to taste this type of ras, then it's very difficult. So we need to hear about Krishna. And Prabhupada was very, very clear about this when he translated the 10th canto at an early stage and encouraged us to read it. And I know in the beginning of our movement, we would always listen to Krishna book during evening time and so on and so forth. This hearing of Krishna Katha, good first class Krishna Katha, where we sit down and hear about Krishna, Krishna, Krishna and what he does and how he does things, it flushes the heart first of all from the dirt, the stench of material consciousness, then it gives auspiciousness into the heart, and finally it will give us love for Krishna, for the divine couple into our heart. This is the wonderful result. Prabhupada says, by sincere efforts to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, one realizes his constitutional relationship with the Lord in the transcendental humor of servitude, friendship, paternal affection or conjugal love. And by such self-realization, one becomes situated at once in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Huh? So this, tomorrow we will hear a little bit, this will be a little technical tomorrow, how rasa appears in the heart of the conditioned souls by quoting some first-class references. How taste, but here I would just say, I would like to say, the Bhagavatam can give you an experience of Krishna and your relationship with Krishna. However, you must know how to hear the Bhagavatam in a proper way. And this proper way is explained in the fourth text that is the preceding text to this verse. Let us listen carefully. Shrinvata shadaya nityam grinatascha svasheshtitam kalena nati dirgena bhagavan vishate hridi. Translation. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifested in their hearts within a short time. The Sanskrit words is here helps us to understand Prabhupada's translation. Srinvata, those who hear, Shradaya, in earnestness, you must make a sincere effort. This morning I want to encourage you. Your sincere effort will be to stay awake during this class. Hear it with a sincere effort. And with Shraddha also means faith, with faith. Then Nityam, you have to apply this therapeutic listening. Nityam, that means very regularly. One time is not enough. Sometimes Nityam is translated as daily. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Daily we should hear this. And then it says Svasheshtitam. Svasheshtitam means seriously by one's own endeavor. So listen with faith. Listen regularly and listen with your own endeavor. What cheshtitam, what endeavor should we do when we listen to the Bhagavatam? This Prabhupada explains at another place in the Bhagavatam itself. You should make the endeavor to listen with rapt attention. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, third chapter, text 44, Prabhupada says in the purport, one should hear with rapt attention from the real person. And then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. Prabhupada will now tell us what it means to hear with rapt attention. The secret, he says, of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. Rapt attention. But no one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. See, that is why it is for some of us so difficult to chant the Hare Krishna mantra for a whole day, because we can't just, our minds are so flickering and so full with smoke, you know, smoky material existence. So no one can, how can we be pure in mind? Prabhupada continues, no one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. Especially, I would say, in the association of devotees, you must be pure in your association with devotees. That is no politics. So much disturbance in the mind is created when you are in a situation of politics. This morning at 1 o'clock, I heard a devotee desperately chanting, and I thought, well, very, very advanced, 1 o'clock. I mean, I'm thinking of sleeping and he chants, very wonderful. So I went out of my room because I couldn't fall asleep any longer, and I went towards Giriraj, but then the gate was locked. So I went around thinking, now I will walk until I'm tired. So I felt a little tired and I went to bed. But as I was trying to sleep, the devotee was still chanting so loudly. Then I thought, I have two possibilities. One is to put my super German earplugs, or to go and find out what is the reason for his ecstasy. And maybe tell him, maybe to ecstatically chant in another direction than my window. And so I went up the roof and I found that devotee chanting. It sounded like a thunderstorm. Then I approached the devotee and said, "Oh, you are chanting very easily audible today." And the devotee said, "Yes, I'm in great distress. They try to remove me from my position." And I heard a sad story of devotees making politics against this pure devotee who was chanting at the roof at full top of his lungs. And I remembered from my readings in psychology that nothing disturbs the mind so much as difficult relationships with other people. It haunts us and haunts us and haunts us. If you want to chant happily, remove yourself from difficult relationships with others. Amputate these relationships if you want to chant properly. And learn, don't give trouble yourself to other people and make them chant in desperation in the middle of the night. So no one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. Yeah, this is very important. Prabhupada has translated here what it means to be pure in action in a slightly different way. He said, no one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing and mating. If you want to be pure in action, you must follow the four regulative principles, in other words. But somehow or other, he brings it now to the close, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person at the very beginning, one can assuredly means sure, 100%, see Lord Sri Krishna in person in the pages of the Bhagavatam. So let me summarize. The Bhagavatam gives us three instructions how to hear. Shraddhaya, with faith. Nityam, regularly. Svacheshtitam, seriously by one's own endeavor. And this means to give rapt attention. If you want to give rapt attention, you must make sure that your mind is pure. To do that, you must make sure that your actions are pure. To do that, you must make sure you keep the rules and regulations. But somehow or other, give rapt attention. And the moment you concentrate your thoughts, Krishna will appear. My dear devotees, don't think this is an impossibility. My dear devotees, don't be skeptical. Instead, take with you from this morning how to give rapt attention to the Bhagavatam. Then it will work like intravenously injected medicine and you will see Lord Krishna. Many devotees in the Hare Krishna movement have experienced this. When they read the Bhagavatam, they really experience Krishna. Krishna always will announce himself when you experience him with a feeling of wonder and a feeling of great astonishment. Now, the Skanda Purana tells us a little bit more how we should listen to the Bhagavatam so that the therapeutic hearing will take effect. It gives us examples. It says, now I will describe. Sutta Goswami talks to the sages of Naimisharanya. Now I will describe the hearers of the Bhagavatam, dedicated to the narrations of Sri Vishnu's glories, these listeners are considered to be of two kinds, superior listener and inferior listener. The superior hearers are the Chataka sparrow, the swan, the parrot, the fish, and others. The inferior hearers are called the wolf hearer, the Burunda bird hearer, the bull hearer, the camel hearer, and others. It's a little cryptic, so we will, and the Skanda Purana now makes clear what it means to become a Chataka hearer. When a Chataka bird approaches the cloud, for the Chataka bird it is absolutely clear that he doesn't want to have water from any other source than the water, than the rain cloud. He doesn't accept the water from the ground. He only wants to have water from the sky. So a first-class hearer knows, at least for the time being when he reads, I want to now associate with Krishna and only with Krishna. I do not really wish any other thing to interfere my hearing. Therefore, the person who wants to apply the therapeutic listening sets a time aside, an undisturbed time where he might even switch off his mobile phone and other disturbing agents. He might see that his children are asleep or are well engaged, and then he knows, just like the Chataka bird, I will now only go to meet my Lord. This is his thing. I will not take entertainment from the world. I will now go to Krishna. Once there was a Chataka bird. It was in the midst of the hot summer season. And the Chataka bird was very thirsty. It looked towards the cloudless sky, like we could look towards the sky. There was no cloud inside. In a very dejected mood, our bird called out, Priya, 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 Priya. This is a little bit like the bird calls. No? Priya means, my dear one, where are you? By the way, this what you will hear now, for those of you who are not accustomed to hear analogical speech, it's about you, what we are talking now. Who are thirsting for Krishna. Priya, 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 Priya. Then the Chataka bird, which was not in the shade of the trees, finally said, I will not drink from this earth, but I must take shelter in a tree. It's too hot. I will faint. And he flew into the trees. But then he thought, I'm sitting here in the shade of this tree who takes water from the earth. I'm compromising my principles. I'm taking shelter ultimately in the water of the earth, because otherwise there wouldn't be any tree. This refers to taking shelter in karma. The Chataka bird was disturbed. It flew away into the sun, and the sun scorched him and scorched him. He became more dejected, and he decided, let me fly to some other region, otherwise I die. And it found a tree which was taking, which was standing at the bank of the Ganga, and the Chataka bird rationalized. The Ganga comes from the higher planetary systems. It's not an earthbound creature. So here I can stay. I don't compromise my principles if I stay in the tree which is nourished by the Ganga water. At this moment, a cruel hunter saw our Chataka bird, aimed his arrow and shot him directly under the arm, under the wing. That's where the heart is situated. Oh, Priya, Priya, said our poor bird, and fell into the Ganga. And as he was drowning, he decided to drink a little water, because at the moment of death, what is most appreciated? Water, Ganga Jal. But the Chataka bird said, again, I'm compromising my principle. The Ganga water gives liberation from material existence, but I want Priya, Priya, my dear Lord. And it shut its beak and died. And when Krishna saw that Chataka bird, he brought him back home, back to Godhead. It's an analogy which tells us don't take shelter in karma and also jnana, which gives liberation from material existence. When you read the Bhagavatam, be a Chataka bird, go to the cloud of Krishna and take only the rasa-filled Krishna substance and hearing about Krishna. This is how you become a first-class hearer. Then the second thing is you should become a swan hearer. The swan hearer is he who takes the essence from various scriptures, just as a swan extracts pure milk from water mixed with milk. You must know, in other words, the art how to understand the essence of the scripture, Bhagavatam. I do remember once we were in Heidelberg and we had one artist. His name was Ajata Shatru. And he read the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam when it came out. And he read it, and he read it. And he every day he looked versa and versa and versa in his face. Finally, we said, Ajata Shatru, what gives you so much misery? I can't understand this fifth canto. But Ajata Shatru, Chukadev Goswami has said in the opening verses that it's very difficult to understand. No, no, no. And it's not presented in a logical way either. Here it says this, and I've calculated the calculation, and here sees there that a total. It's not coherent. I have doubts in Prabhupada, and I have doubts in the Bhagavatam. Goodbye. That's it. And Ajata Shatru left us for good. He never returned. So he had not been a swan-like hearer who takes the essence of the message. By the way, I once heard, maybe Burijan Prabhu can confirm or deconfirm this, that the fifth canto is purposely expressed in such a way that those who work with the intellect can't understand it. It's like a wall of faith. You have to pass this, and then you can go to the higher cantos. Have you heard this also? No. Narayani, have you heard this? Now, a grave doubt has overcome me. Maybe this is not the correct information which I'm giving. If these two stalwart researchers of the Bhagavatam have not heard it, then a little incompetent like me will have the wrong information. All right, let us forget this information. The next qualification of, so take the essence, don't be like this artist. The next point is, when you listen to the Bhagavatam, speak little, hear more. Don't speak your own realizations. Hear more. And the example which is given is the parrot. The parrot apparently doesn't speak too much. Let's see. We had some morning sessions where there were parrots, but I believe they were in that tree which has now offered his obeisances to Giriraj. Is that? And the parrots are there? Same family? Same family. Looks the same. They don't speak too much, especially during the Bhagavatam recitals. Only at times they voiced their appreciation. But they listened very nice. The parrot doesn't speak too much. That is why he is known. Sometimes they are very excited, though, when they fly. Have you noticed when they fly in big numbers in this direction and come from this direction back because they have forgotten something? So, yes. By speaking little, only what is appropriate, the parrot, like a devotee, pleases Vyasadeva, the listeners, the instructor, and the audience, who are well engaged in reciting the scriptures, just like an ordinary parrot. This example, which brings us a little bit now into monam, is repeated again. The eager hearer, while relishing the nectar, does not speak even for a moment, and in this way is like a fish in the ocean of milk. When a fish swims in the ocean of milk, he doesn't talk. He may sometimes swallow some milk, but he is not very talkative. So when you are together with the Bhagavatam, don't talk. And talking is also done in the mind. Don't engage in mind conversations. Just learn to absorb the nectar of the Bhagavatam. These are the four advices which have been given. Do you know what you should not do? Do you want to know what you should not do? That is the person who is the not listening properly? Yeah? Then extra for Adi Purusha, the only person who wants to know. Now, I will tell this. And the tape listening posterity. The rest of you are tired and want to sleep. Oh, now something comes to me. I've just made this mistake. A fool who makes rude comments like Sachinandan Swami and gives trouble to his expert hearers is like a wolf-like listener. Just like the wolf in the forest who disturbs the deer engrossed in the beauty of a flute song. And don't we have this sometimes, that in the midst of the Bhagavatam discussion, there's some materialistic fool who offers some materialistic understanding or disturbs the audience with unnecessary argumentativeness and so on. Don't be like that. Imagine the example. There are deers in the forest who hear very, very innocently the flute song of a young boy who is maybe playing in the Himalayan mountains. I've heard many of these young boys in the forest. They sit there and play on their flute, and the deer are listening and enjoying. And in the midst of this very nice scene, a wolf comes. So this is how this unnecessary argumentativeness is compared, like the wolf. Then you should not teach others something which you have not heard from authorized circles and which you yourself don't practice. It says, a Burunda bird teaches others without himself having actually heard and practiced, just like the Burunda bird on the peaks of the Himalayas. So if you want to speak about the Bhagavatam, you must speak what you have heard and what you have practiced. And then there's the bull-like hearer. He doesn't see a difference between what is tasty and what is dry. And there is the camel-like hearer who leaves aside the sweet mangoes and feeds himself with bitter lemons. In other words, same thing. When you hear the Bhagavatam, be very careful if you want to really absorb the nectar to not disturb your mind with other things. During this Japa retreat, I made a very, very stark realization of what it means to burden the mind with other things. In my preaching last year, I have read literature, you know, for helping me preach, and I have seen a video about this video showed how most properly the 9/11 was happening with the knowledge of the American government. This was the content of the video. Very convincing presentation. I mean, after you saw it, you thought, well, it was the Bush administration who exploded these twin towers. That's what you thought. And so then I went to chanting, and I do remember, as I was chanting, all of a sudden I saw the two twin towers breaking into pieces before my very eyes, and I saw Bush smile, and I saw all the content which I had seen in the video. It leaves sankskaras. By the way, I want to say this for my audience. Here in this sacred valley of Giriraj, I'm not saying what is, I'm not taking any opinion here, if it was true or untrue. I'm just saying, bringing a principle that seeing many things with our mind and with our impressionable fantasy will leave something in our heart, and it is there. I was surprised. I saw many things during the during my own Japa retreat. I mean, when not the organized one, but the one where I was chanting on my own. I saw the whole content of last, the whole mental content of last year, you know. And I could tell you, I dumped most of it at the garbage place. It was not important for transcendental realization. So you must, as spiritual people, learn to practice a little mental hygiene. Otherwise, the things which you read and see and engage your mind with will haunt you like ghosts. At the same time, you have to see, you may be a creative person and an intellectually person, and you might hanker for some mental stimulation. My suggestion is, do that if you are like that, because I am certainly like that. I know what it means. But do it in a way that you keep in mind, this is not harmful for my Krishna conscious development, but here it is very harmful. If I see a movie which is against the four rules and regulations, then I must be aware. I will have to deal with the sankskara in my mind. I will break the rules and regulations most properly, because at this moment we are like barely reformed drunkards. When we come too close to the bottle, it all starts over again, our attachments. We are barely reformed drunkards. Yes, we could curse ourselves for our drunk attachment to booze, to alcohol, but still we can't keep ourselves away from it when we are not careful. So don't be like the camel who leaves aside the mangoes and feeds himself with lemons, or like the bull who rejects the tasty grapes for the dry oil cakes. These are some instructions which are given so that you can become a right hearer. Let us summarize and see where we are. Who knows the three Bhagavatam instructions for listening correctly? Ratnabhushana Bhushana. And to make an endeavor to, yes, Svasheshtitam is the Sanskrit, to make an endeavor, and then I suggested go to be attentive. Now, who remembers one of Sukadev's, of Sutta's instruction, one only, please, how to hear? You know, different examples were given from different animals. What was an animal which you have in mind? Chataka bird. For what? What teaches? Focus. Yes? Essence, yes. Focusing on the essence. Any other animal and his lesson? Yes? Yes. The swan extracts the essence from irrelevant materials, said Lakshmi Moni. Who remembers something else? Parrot, yes. Why should we be like a parrot? Not to speak so much here. Mm-hmm. And, oh, we got them all, yes. You had already your chance. What other animal will we follow? The fish, yes. He gives silence. The fish in the ocean. While I was preparing for this particular class, this will be, I also looked into what Christians do, especially those who are living a contemplative life. And I read a book on sacred reading. And while I was reading this book, I discovered something very, very useful. And I leaned back. I thought, do we have this information also in our tradition? And after thinking for a while, I could identify four powerful practices in our tradition, how you can listen attentively to Krishna Katha, and in that way meet Lord Krishna very soon on the pages of the Bhagavatam. Would you like to know about these practices? Good. I will just go through them, and then you will have your... Actually, I feel we should make a pause now, because after the breakfast, we are a little tired. So please use this time very well. We have 15 minutes. It will be 5 minutes past 11 when we will meet. Move around. Stand on your head. Make an endeavor. Maybe use the restroom, maybe rest under the shade of a tree, but in 15 minutes I expect you with your full attention. Hare Krishna.